Let me give you the lineup before we bring in John Rosengren. By the way, the website for his book is www.fightoftheirlives.com. So, .net, sorry, .net. Because if you Googled Fight of Their Lives, you may have come up with the Lewis Schmeling fight. I don't know. So, fightoftheirlives.net. So if you check it on the web. Hey, let me give you the Giants lineup completely today so you can write it down. Pagan, thank goodness, back in the outfield today. Blanco is in right today. No Hunter Pence. Belt is at first base, and glad to see him back in there. He hasn't been feeling well. Posey is the DH. Sandoval is at third today. Hector Sanchez behind the plate. I want to see more of him catching. You know, he always had trouble. Remember with Lincecum, and sort of mauled the guy behind the plate. I want to see a little more about Sanchez comfortably catching today. I want to see a little because he's catching Hudson today as well. Juan Perez, I talked about, is in left. Brandon Crawford at short and hitting 370 with a homer and six RBIs. The aforementioned Brandon Hicks, keep that name in front of you. He is playing second base today, and I'm telling you, he's got a heck of a chance to be on this team. All right, John Rosengren joins us. John is an author. He lives in Minnesota. He's written a number of books, one about Hank Greenberg, the hero of heroes, Blades of Glory, the true story of a young team bred to win. His articles have appeared in Men's Journal, Reader's Digest, Runner's World, Sports Illustrated, and Utney Reader. Did I say that correct?
Yes.
All right, I did. Let me turn him up here, and we'll get that going. But, John, your book, The Fight of Their Lives, nice to have you here as well.
Well, good morning, Marty.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about, I gave a little preamble to it in our break before we came back, but The Fight of Their Lives, the cover picture is amazing. It's the Marischal-Roseboro picture with Koufax trying to get in the middle of it. August 65, it's one of the major incidents of Major League Baseball, the history of fights. Tell us about the book, why, and a little bit about it.
This is a photograph that I'm sure many of your listeners have seen, the iconic shot of Marischal with his bat raised and Roseboro tumbling. And for many fans, that's all they know of the incident, even at the time in 1965 when Life magazine and Sports Illustrated ran those photos. And it cast Marischal as the villain and Roseboro as the victim. But as you said, there's much more to this story and how it unfolded. First off, it comes in the context of the Dodgers-Giants rivalry, of course, the most storied and bitterest in all of sports. And then it came during the heat of a pennant race in the summer of 65. Only a game and a half separated these two teams. They're playing the fourth game of a critical four-game series late in August. It happened also during the summer of fury. You know, the 60s, a very turbulent time in the United States and around the world. Culminating in 1965, the Dominican Republic was in the midst of a civil war. Juan was very concerned about his family and their safety down there. The United States had committed over 20,000 troops to the Dominican Republic, second only to the conflict in Vietnam. So Juan is watching these scenes of the bloody battle being fought on the streets of the capital, worried sick, literally, about his family and their safety. He had a terrible sinus infection that summer. Willie Mays said he was so distraught he shouldn't be pitching that summer. Meanwhile, John Roseboro is also impacted personally by events of the time. He had, the week before, just watched the Watts riots burn. And here he is, a black man living in South Central L.A., and he's playing ball in Dodger Stadium, watching the smoke in the distance from the buildings burning, and wondering, why are we still playing baseball in the midst of all this tension and riots and upheaval in our country? And it got very personal one night when the demonstrators were scheduled to march down the road in front of his house, and he was... he sat up that night with a loaded gun on his front stoop.
Really? Wow.
To protect his family and their property. So Roseboro is, you know, on edge because of these events in society. And as often happens, the tensions in society play out on the field of the national pastime, and it was reflected in this fight between these two guys.
Well, very interesting. John Rosengren with us. The book is The Fight of Their Lives. I always say that baseball mirrors life, and certainly you've hit that pretty well. John, how do you go about getting information? I mean, this is a different angle. I mean, we've seen all the pictures of the fight, and I always thought of it as a baseball fight, which probably it was, but now you understand what's behind it. How do you get information to come to those conclusions? How do you do that?
I just make it up to make it interesting.
Yeah, very good. This is
just kidding.
Join Saturday Night Live.
So. Yeah, right. No, you know, I talk to as many people as I can, and I've got to back up. I mean, my background is as a journalist, you know, so I'm very interested in getting everything right and correct and being accurate. And also, as a, I have a master's in creative writing, so I want to be able to tell the story in a compelling way. And so it's just finding as much information as I can, talking to the people who were at the game, talking to players, talking to the participants, the family members. Unfortunately, John Roseborough has already passed away, but I was able to speak to his widow before she died. I was also able to speak to his first wife and their children. I was able to speak to Juan. He was very gracious and sitting down with me several times and answering my questions. And then going to the accounts of the game of, doing research at the Cooperstown and the library, and just amassing as much information as I can, scouring the books to find, from looking at the daily logs of these players and trying to tell the full story of their lives and so to put this event in the context of their life.
All right, so what percent of the fight was the background, the tensions that were going on, versus just, Roseborough threw the ball back and ticked Marichal's ear and Koufax wouldn't hit anybody and Mays hit a home run in that game and,
I think if this were the Twins and the Indians playing in 2012, this never would have happened between these guys. But it was because of the tensions between the Dodgers and the Giants, because of the events happening in society that were affecting both these men in their lives, and because of this pennant race and this critical four-game series, there's been a lot of jawing back and forth between the two teams, and including threats that Roseborough had delivered to Marichal via Cepeda and others. So during the game, it was August 22nd, 1965, you got this marquee matchup with Koufax and Marichal on the mound. Marichal has put down Ron Fairley and Maury Wills. Koufax has thrown a pitch over Willie Mays' head as retaliation. Shay Crawford, the plate umpire, has warned both pitchers, no more inside stuff or you're out of here. So in the third inning, the bottom of the third, we're at Candlestick. When Marichal comes up, the code calls for Marichal to go down. Okay. But the Dodgers don't want to lose their ace in this critical game. So Roseborough says, listen, Sandy, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. He calls for an inside pitch, deliberately drops it, throws the ball back right past Juan's face. Juan said it was so close it nicked his ear. Now, you think about that for a minute. Here's a batter looking out at the pitcher, and suddenly this ball whizzes by his head from 3 feet behind him, completely unexpected. I mean, that could have killed him, right, if it hit him. So Juan turns, and then he sees Roseborough get up out of his crouch. He's in his gear and has a reputation as a tough guy and has already sent these threats. Well, Juan is startled. He's scared. He backs up, and in defense, he brings his bat down on Roseborough's head. Now, that's obviously it doesn't excuse what he did, but it certainly helps us understand why that happened and how that happened. And then, of course, it touches off this 15-minute brawl.
Well, I am a criminal defense trial lawyer, so I see some elements of self-defense in there.
Absolutely.
An honest but unreasonable belief, maybe, something like that. Yeah. Michael Gaines knows what I'm talking about. Hey, this is a great book. This is very good. It sounds like you really did a lot of work. Did it confirm the root part of it with Roseborough's family and with Marichal that they were tense because of what else was going on in the world? Was that confirmed in your research?
Absolutely. And the other thing I ought to mention is this was completely uncharacteristic of both these guys. And so, had it happened during a more relaxed time in their careers and in society, I don't think this fight would have occurred. But because of the tension, it caused these men to act in ways that were uncharacteristic. I mean, Marichal, his nickname was Laughing Boy. He's a fun-loving guy. He liked to play practical jokes. And he was a religious guy. I mean, he's a guy who carried a card of the Saint Martin, the peacemaker, in his pocket. Yeah. He recited the Psalms in the evening. He went to mass on Sundays, even when they're traveling. He finds a Catholic church going to mass. This is not a guy prone to violence normally. Yeah. And Roseborough, his family told me, he wanted to be tougher than he was. He was really a gentle soul underneath.
Yeah, Gabby.
Gabby, exactly.
He didn't say anything. They called him Gabby. Boy, very good. I've enjoyed this. Very good. And it's a nice book. Where do people get it?
Thanks. If I can just say, what really attracted me to the story is not just the cultural context, but what happened afterward, how these two guys eventually forgave one another.
Yeah.
And then so they reconciled, became friends. So they're forever linked by this moment that people have seen in the photograph. But then they turn that into an occasion of reconciliation and friendship. So they can be remembered as two men who overcame their past and lived in peace.
Sure, I remember Roseborough's funeral. Marichal came to that, did he not?
He spoke, His widow called Juan, asked him to be an honorary pallbearer and to give a eulogy.
Wow.
It was the first time Juan had spoken publicly about this incident. And he said he was very nervous. And the widow, Barbara, had actually put the fight scenes from Life magazine on the back of the program cover. And so Juan was startled by that. He was very nervous. He stood up. You know, here he's in front of all of Roseboro's friends and family. And he says, you know, when Johnny forgave me, it was as though a weight were lifted from my body. It was one of the most wonderful moments of my life. And he said, I love Johnny. I wish he could have been my catcher. Wow. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the chapter.
Wow, very good. You explained it really well. Very nice. The book is called The Fight of Their Lives. Now, John, where do you get it?
It's available in bookstores everywhere. It's at libraries. It's available online at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. People can read more about it, see more about it, see video clips and interviews and reviews at www.fightoftheirlives.net.
Oh, terrific. John Rosengren, thanks for coming by.
Oh, you're welcome, Marty.
Very
thanks
good.
For your interest.
Yeah, this is good. Now, this is very good for our audience, and I'm intrigued by it. I'm looking forward to going through it a little bit more.